Okay, well, before anybody gets too excited about the time, he had a 3-year update. I've got 32 years, so. When Carl asked me to share my testimony, I really didn't want to say yes. I told him I would think about it and pray about it, all the while knowing in my heart I would probably end up standing up here. I did pray about it, and God took me to Jeremiah 1, which is where he called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah protested about his incompetence. The word of the Lord came to me, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." But I protested, "Oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth." Then the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you to. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration." Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, "I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant." I know I'm not Jeremiah and I'm not speaking to the nations today, but as I read that passage, God gently reminded me that my life is not my own. The story of my life is not my own. It's his story, and I am just a character in it. So it's not mine to share or withhold, it's his. So I'm here in obedience, and my prayer is that I am simply a mouthpiece today for whatever he wants you to hear. I grew up in a strong Christian home and went to church every time the doors were open. I know that it was an incredible blessing, and I do not want to take that for granted. But there were things about God and faith that I think I did take for granted or didn't fully grasp because I didn't know any other ways, and I had no reason to question what I did know. I made a commitment to Christ around the age of 6, and while I believe it was genuine and real, it was years before I fully understood what it was to have a personal relationship with him and what it really meant to live out a yes to him. Those of you that know me well know that I am a very relational person. I know God created me that way for a reason, but it hasn't been without struggle or hard, painful lessons. At a pretty young age, God began to show me how much I was depending on the people around me, on their faith, on their availability, presence, and even strength in my life. Time after time, it seemed God took... Time after time, it seemed God took away people I was depending on instead of him. Sometimes it was gently or for a season, but sometimes it seemed harsh or was permanent. It was a slow, painful journey of shifting my dependence to him and him alone. As the years went by, life happened, situations and events that called for a faith that was steady and immovable. But my faith felt vulnerable and shaky. There were increasing times of him asking me to trust him, to obey him, to place my faith and confidence in him and not what he did or didn't do. Can I just take a moment here to concede that sometimes it is really hard to separate faith in him and faith in what he does? Anybody else with me on that? The thing is, what he does is a really big deal. When he moves mountains, it is incredible to watch. When he shows us that he is still a God of miracles, it's so easy to believe and to sing his praises. But what about when he seems to be silent? What about when we can't see or make sense of what he's doing? I continued to walk in the faith I knew how to walk in. I attempted to live how I thought he wanted me to live. Honestly, I might have been a pretty good Christian if you looked at the obvious parts of my life, but there was so much more of God that I hadn't seen, received, or surrendered to. When I was 19, I spent 4 months in India. It had been a long time dream, but after praying about it and pursuing it, it became obvious God was asking me to go. I said yes to him, believing that he wanted to use me there. Little did I know how much he wanted to teach me there, and that few things would be what I expected when I said yes. While there, I lived with Sam and Becca Gunty, who lead Good Life Ministries. Ben and Preston would be involved with the thrift store that supports their ministry, for those of you that know that. I did a lot of daily life with them, and for the first time had an opportunity to see God at work in a completely different culture and environment than how I grew up. It was like I saw a completely different side of him. I started to realize how small and narrow-minded my view of God was. There was a lot of spiritual warfare that was fought there on a daily basis. I mean daily. I had no clue what it was like to be in full-time ministry and to be a daily threat to Satan's agenda. I could tell you story after story, but the long and short of it is that I saw and experienced a daily dependence on God there like never before. From those who were in ministry who needed his strength and protection, but also from the people who, for the first time in their lives, were being told about someone bigger than them and the lives they had been living. Not just lives of physical poverty, but a spiritual poverty, as they attempted an impossible task to please millions of false gods and practice empty religious traditions. One of my favorite memories was going out to the villages for church, where hundreds would gather to soak in the gospel and worship and praise Jesus. I couldn't understand a single word that was being prayed or sung, but I could see it all over those people's faces. They believed in a really big God, and they believed he was who he said he was. I can still see the joy that was on their faces while they worshiped him. It wasn't there because he had blessed them with more than enough in the physical realm. These people lived in dirt huts the size of the church bathrooms or maybe your walk-in closet, and often didn't get three meals a day. Their joy was simply because of who God was. He had busted the shackles of their false religion and brought them hope. He was their savior, and he was worthy of their praise. I wish I could say I came home and lived a completely different lifestyle. I don't think that was totally the case, but I do think it was a monumental stepping stone in God's journey for me to know him more fully. It awakened something in me that believed there was more of him to find. I remember sometime later having a conversation with my mom, and I told her that I was so thankful for all that her and Dad had taught us, and that I knew they did the best they knew, but that somehow I still felt like I was missing something. I remember so clearly saying, "I don't want to live life for Jesus just because he saved me from hell and will take me to heaven, or even because it's the right thing to do. I just want to live for him because of who he is and for that joy and because he's worthy of my life and devotion." The next few years held some really difficult seasons in which God asked me to contend for spiritual things that were oh so hard. Some things were for myself, some things were for others. There were long seasons where my faith looked crazy and ridiculous to most people that could see it, like I was in denial of the obvious or not surrendered to God's will. But I knew what God was asking of me. He was asking for an obedient faith in who he was, not a faith dependent on circumstances. He was asking if I would be obedient, even if the outcome held no earthly reward for me. I said yes to him so many times during those years, and it seldom turned out like I expected it to when I said yes. It was a season of learning to wrestle with God. Yes, wrestle. I remember a teacher at Bible school I attended telling us that it's not wrong to wrestle with our faith. It's not wrong to struggle with God, but to make sure we're struggling with God, not against God. If you're gonna struggle, he said, struggle well. He talked about Jacob, how he wrestled with God and how he refused to give up until he found God. Hosea 12 says it this way: "In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. But you must return to God, to your God. Maintain love and justice and wait for your God always." It was in these hard seasons that I learned how to wrestle with God for his favor, not his favor in the outcome of my prayers or circumstances, but in the favor of his presence, his peace, his hope, his strength, his grace, and his love, the favor of himself. Many times I wanted to give up, but God was always faithful to draw me back to where he was. So I wrestled and I waited, and as I did, I continued to find more of God himself. In Genesis 35:3, Jacob said, "Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." Who has been with me wherever I have gone? Yes, this. God did not answer many of my prayers during that season the way I expected him to, but he always answered them with himself. He was always with me wherever I went. He met me there, and my faith became cemented in him. Faith that was in the promise of who he was, not what he could or would do. I began to see that when it says in Proverbs, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart," that he is actually the ultimate desire of our heart. I believe it's in times of deep struggle, of wrestling with God, that we really find out who he is and where our faith is. Somewhere in the middle of that long season of wrestling, I told God how desperate I was for more of him. I begged him to give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I begged him to take me wherever necessary to get through my thick skull what he wanted me to know about who he was. He answered my cry by opening the doors for me to go to an 11-week discipleship training school in Colorado. Let me tell you, I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I said yes to that open door. I felt like I was thrown into a totally different world. It was like a spiritual boot camp. They seemed to literally live and breathe Jesus. It was purposefully made to be a very protected and set-apart environment. We had 1 hour a day that we were allowed to have our phones on, 30 minutes a day with internet access, 1 to 2 hours a day that were considered free time, but usually ended up in more Bible study or prayer time. We listened to sermons. We had group Bible study and individual Bible study. We prayed, like, a lot. Sometimes we were awakened in the middle of the night for prayer. Sometimes we prayed for literally hours on end. We didn't talk about our denominations, cultures, doctrinal issues, or debates. We literally focused on Jesus and Jesus only. I know that sounds crazy. It was. But all I know is that it seemed like for the first time in my life, I began to see just how big my God was. I studied his character and his nature instead of trying to figure out who I should be. I studied his promises instead of striving to know his will for my life. I studied how his plan and story are woven through the entire Bible, and I saw how my life fits into that, rather than trying to learn how to fit him into my life. I studied how he didn't just forgive me and set me free from my sins. He conquered the power of sin in my life. The gospel became more than the story of Jesus' life to me. Like Paul said in Romans 1, it became the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. There were so many things I had known all my life, but it seemed like for the first time, I understood what it really meant to live them out and what it really meant to believe them and live out that belief. For the first time, I realized how incredibly small and wretched I was next to an incredibly big and holy God. I needed a Savior, desperately. It was God himself who revealed all these things to me, but I didn't receive them without more wrestling on my part. Did I really believe God was everything he said he was? Did I believe the things he said about his children, those who believe in him? Did I really believe I was a new creation? Did I believe I was in Christ and he was in me? Did I believe he gives me power to overcome sin? Did I believe he never changes and could not lie? Did I really believe his spirit lives in me and my old man was dead? Did I believe he enables me to walk by the spirit instead of the flesh? For some reason, I felt like I got stuck on the spirit versus flesh and new creation versus old man. I wasn't fully convinced I was truly a new person in Christ or that I didn't somehow still need to have my focus on living right. Partway through the semester, God met me one day in a way I probably can't fully explain. I was alone with him, spending time in his word, and asking him to reveal himself to me once again. I was reading through Galatians 5, and it basically jumped off the pages at me. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but for time's sake, I'll narrow it down. But you should go home and read it all. The first part of the chapter talks about Christ setting us free for freedom, and that when we try to be justified by the law, we actually fall away from grace, and how the only thing that really counts is faith being expressed in love, which fulfills the entire law. Picking up in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." I had read this passage so many times, even memorized most of it, but it had never come alive to me like it did that day. The Holy Spirit showed me deeds of the flesh that were present in my life, and I remember almost literally trembling with fear before the Lord. But then, as I read the verses about the fruit of the Spirit, the fear vanished, and all I could hear was God saying, this is the life I call you to. This is the life I empower you to live, to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, with no reserve, no need to hold back, no law against such living. This is who you can be through my life in you. The goodness of its truth overcame me, and I was completely undone. I began weeping and laughing simultaneously. I was physically shaking all over. I remember thinking, I have never been drunk, but I wonder if it kind of feels like this. All I could do was sit there and praise Jesus. Why would I not want that life? Why would I hold on to the evil things of the flesh when I have the option to walk in these fruits of the Spirit that there was no law against and complete freedom to live in? What a beautiful gift to be given from the Father. I believe God allowed some scales to fall off of my eyes that day and to see and understand things I had never grasped before. I was able to believe that I was truly a new creation and that I had been set free. I understood that when I surrendered to Him as my Lord and Savior, He gave me the gift of His Spirit. I didn't need to wait for fire from heaven like the church in Acts. It was as if I had been waiting for some radical experience to prove I was really His, when I just needed to believe that He was my way, my truth, and my life, and walk in the reality of that faith. I could see all the stepping stones over the years that He had placed in my life to take me closer to Him. I don't know why He allowed so many years of wrestling before He gave me the full blessing of seeing Him in this way, but I was so grateful to be set free. I haven't always walked with Christ in the way I should have since that summer in Colorado. I've allowed myself to get distracted by things in the world, said yes to my flesh, and sinned against my Savior more than I'd like to admit. But now, I get up when I fall down, repent of my sin, and get back in step with my God. I now know the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus, and the empty tomb, and the devil's got nothing on me. Hallelujah. I have continued to wrestle with God in seasons where it felt like I couldn't see Him or hear Him. He has taught me to stand on the truth of His word and who He says He is and who I am in Christ. Even when I have taken my eyes off of Him, He has remained utterly faithful. He has shown me so much undeserved favor, not just in Himself, but also in His ways. Through a husband that fears the Lord, who continually shows me the love of Christ, through family that follows Him, through friendships that are iron sharpening iron, through spiritual mentors over the years, through this wonderful church family in so many other ways. Through God's patient teaching, I have learned and relearned that my dependence must be in Him and Him alone. That no matter what I face in life, I don't lose hope because Jesus is my living hope. That my faith is in Him, not His ways. It seems like every time I think I've got it learned right, He tests me it again. The past month, of watching and walking with the B2 family was yet another one of those times. I know I haven't known the deep loss that many others have, but I've known the test of obedient faith when it makes absolutely no sense and the outcome leaves your heart in shattered pieces. So many times I don't understand His ways. So many moments all I can hear is my Father say, "Do you trust me, my child?" Sometimes my yes is triumphantly confident, but other times it's a mere whisper. But often I say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." If there's something I would say to sum it all up in a nutshell, it would be something like this. Life has not been what I expected as I lived out my yes to Jesus. He has written a story that has far more twists and turns than I would have chosen. But it's an incredible story because He has faithfully been there every step of the way, and He is the hero of it all. He's continuing to sanctify and refine me, praise Jesus. And as I keep giving Him my yes, He gives me Himself more and more, and He is truly all I need. A verse that's kind of been my, life anthem for the last number of years is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The verse that Carl shared last Sunday, that was Mark's last sermon, that was about the promises of God being yes and amen, has held a lot of impact along my journey as well. And there's a song that just says it so well about God's promises and His faithfulness. And I asked Matt to play it today, so thank you.